This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today, we're just going to discuss the heroics of ZD Donahue.
Oh my God. Mallory and I had some heroism.
Yes.
What, a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So
we'll have to put pictures in this.
Yes, I got
for
pictures.
Sure,
hopefully
like
I can get them
impressive.
Up. Hopefully I can get them up. So we got a call from Hillary, who is a middle school teacher.
And that's one of my daughters.
Yeah.
That's the oldest sister.
What's middle school? It's 6, 7, 8, right? 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. For us,
yes.
In this
here it is.
Town,
yes.
That's what it's called.
In our school system, it's 6, 7, 8.
It used to not be that way, so now I'm confused.
Yeah, and wherever you go, it's different. Yep. So,
okay, so 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and they have a football, an American football team, and Hillary sent us a picture and
because
said...
Because she's the facts
yes,
teacher.
Yes, she's the facts, or home ec.
Home ec, whatever you want to
sewing,
call it.
Sewing, cooking.
She teaches sewing, so...
Yeah.
So they bring it to her because, of course, she can fix it. Right?
Yeah, whenever anything's ripped or whatever, right. You know, hey, can you fix this? So she sent us a picture of this jersey, and it had like almost a rectangle.
It was like a three-sided rectangle rip, okay, that was basically across the front of this jersey at like an angle.
On the numbers.
Like
it was on the numbers.
Yeah, it came up into the number.
Okay, so, and like a jersey, I guess, for our non-U.S. listeners, like a jersey is the shirt this kid would wear during the game.
That you know, that's the color of the team and has his number that identifies him. Yes.
So the rip was, we thought it was made with like scissors, like someone had opened a package and slashed it
because
or something.
Because the lines were very straight. Really,
but
amazingly straight.
Hillary said that she asked, and the coach said that someone had grabbed his jersey and pulled. And I guess that the fabric with the holes, is it like perforated?
Right. This is like some sort of, you know, synthetic fabric. I think it's kind of a nylonish thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And
it's
it has
stretchy
the little
too.
Holes
it's
in
stretchy,
it, so like
yeah.
It breathes, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we're calling it jersey because they call it a jersey, not because it's jersey fabric.
Right.
So I don't know if somebody grabbed it and then this kid tried to run from him. And so it just like ripped away, you know, and it ripped this big flap. It's huge. It's like, you know, it involves like 88%
of the
jersey. Front of the jersey.
Yeah. So there, I went to this school actually when it was a junior high school, and their colors are white and blue. But was the number yellow too? So
yeah,
there's white and blue
like
and yellow,
a golden color, and it's a baby blue, not like a royal,
an
blue.
Ice blue,
an icy blue,
icy
right.
Blue. So they're the Vikings, the West Vikings.
Whatever.
I'm just not a sports person, so I just all these like weird mascots and everything. Anyway, so this jersey needed to be fixed that day, right? She texts us before I wake up,
I think,
or something.
No, we had the next day. This was so we had that day, and then this was like Wednesday morning.
Yeah,
and Tuesday morning. It was Tuesday morning, I think. And he had to wear it Thursday afternoon, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well.
No. It was Wednesday morning and he had to wear it Thursday afternoon. That's what it was. Yeah.
So we
did have like 30 hours or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we were going to record anyway, so I pick up this jersey from the front office of the school.
So Mallory is out and about, and we're trying to figure out how to... I said, can you get the jersey here?
Yeah.
She's like, I have this
Hillary's
saying, she's sending us pictures, I have this thread.
I have this stabilizer.
And I have this stabilizer and this and this and this. And I'm like, I don't think that's how I would approach it. Can you get it to me?
Right, right. But, plus, Hillary has to teach all her classes.
Right, right. Like, she can't sit down and figure this. Well, plus, we really don't know how we're going to fix it yet. We have a couple of ideas floating around
in our
head.
And it's a little bit of a specialty project. Like, I wouldn't, you know.
Somebody says, oh, I can sew, it doesn't mean they can fix this.
Because it's. Or it just may take some experimentation.
Well, this is like one of those things that's a lifetime of experience in doing something like this. Like, you've come up against these problems. So you have to know about stabilizers. You have to know about stitching. You have to know about fabric. You have to know, you know, will this work? I mean, you can't just seam it up.
Yeah, it was.
If you want it to look right.
Well, I was going
to
say.
Right. Somebody could.
Could have.
Yeah, could have.
But
we should have. We
yeah, right.
Well, we should have done that instead of
why did we
said,
care
we
so much? Right, yeah, right, right. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Hillary. Yeah, she was trying to troubleshoot, but she put the jersey at the office. I picked it up, brought it home, and ZD's working on it, and that's what we're going to talk to you about today about how ZD fixed it. So first off, we knew this jersey. You know, it was essentially almost like a darning job. A bit, right?
Pretty much. We're trying to emulate the fabric again.
Now,
it didn't seem there was much fabric loss.
That's right.
But there was no, I mean, it wasn't like we had a seam allowance.
Yes. So no. So it was like a very clean rip.
Right. It was like if you laid this down and cut this shape with a razor blade or a rotary cutter.
So while no fabric was missing, there was really no fabric that you couldn't like overlap it because then it would look really
well,
weird,
and
right?
Obviously, someone's going to play football in
this.
Yes. So it needs to be stable and somewhat sturdy.
Right.
Right.
So there was no fabric loss, so we knew we could butt it up together. And that's why Hillary, she knew, that's why she was sending us all those pictures of the stabilizer, you know.
And like, I'm like, need this. Don't add heat. You cannot touch this. So
don't fuse this stuff.
So one of the problems, or, you know, one of the concerns would be, and I don't know if it's a problem, but it's one of the factors, right, that we have to take into place while repairing this. So no heat. I mean, like, no heat can you use on this stuff. It melts. It's like...
It would just curl away.
It is like nylon and acetate or something. Yeah. It is... It's like probably... Well, and this is a junior or middle school, you know, this probably isn't a real durable, expensive jersey. It's probably not the top of the line, you know, materials in it. But it was very nice. And it was made well.
Well, and, you know, even though...
Oh, no,
not,
it was like brand new.
Yeah, and even though they're not top of the line, I think
they're
maybe
they're not
the kids
inexpensive.
Have to pay for them. Yeah, right. They are
no,
expensive.
The kids don't pay for them,
they
but
don't?
The school
okay.
does.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, well, and the problem is you can't get this jersey overnight. You
right.
know, these are made up with the specific colors for the team in the correct size that they have ordered, you know, with the correct number in the right color, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay. So it was not something we could, I mean, we could have went and got like a blue t-shirt, I guess, and applique number 7
That's
on
right.
it.
That's right.
But anyway, we did not do that. So, well, the other way you can know that they're not an expensive jersey is they don't even, like, they only put the number on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't fool around with putting any other graphics on it or anything because they're not wanting to spend money, you know, on this team because it, you know. It's the...
Well, it changes every year and everything.
Anyway, so, yeah, the size changes. And, you know, this guy that... who knows who's number 7 next year or what.
Right.
Anyway. And it was... Wasn't it a small?
Oh, it was... It was small.
Well, it was so small. Yeah.
It was very small.
I put it on to model it. And it, like, totally mashed my boobs, like, between my ribs. Like, it fit me in the waist, but... This kid must not be very big, is all I can say, because they wear pads under this. But number 7 would be a low number, so he might be a kicker or like a specialty team or what you would
I
call.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
or the quarterback, okay? Usually the lower numbers are those kinds of things. So they're not the big people on the football team.
I learned this the day that Mom was fixing this jersey, that the numbers had something to do.
Well,
I just had no idea.
I mean, okay, I'll confess. I was a cheerleader.
I had no idea.
Okay? I'm confessing. I was a cheerleader.
Really? So we knew we were going to have to bottle this stuff up. We've got all our stabilizers. We've got all our sprays and everything here. So we got it here.
So we have the resources here.
Yeah.
Probably above and beyond even any store we could walk into.
Maybe. Especially.
Right. At least we've got them in one place.
You know, especially with all the supply chain issues.
Right.
And sometimes you go into a place nowadays and you're like, well, certainly I can pick this up.
Right.
Not necessarily.
So I guess that's what I'm saying. And it was all in one place.
Yeah.
We knew we had the machines. We knew we probably had the right thread color, or at least close enough that in a football game and, 15 feet away, nobody would notice the difference. But, we have glues. We have this. We have stabilizers. We have, and this is, okay, I'm just going to put this in here. This is when somebody says to you, can you hem my jeans? And you quote them a price, right?
Yeah.
And you say, let's just say you say $10. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not saying that's high, low, or the right number. I'm using this arbitrarily. So you say $10.
Yeah.
And they go, $10? That's just two little hems there. You have the experience that you have gathered in your entire life to do this hem correctly.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't let anyone, get you off your, or go, oh, well, that's just a little seam. How could that cost that much? It costs that much. You say, I'm sorry. That's what it cost me to do that hem.
Don't say I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Don't say I'm sorry.
Say that's what it costs. That's the cost. That's what you should say. Well, that's the cost.
Just be like, go do it yourself.
You can say there are other people that sew.
Would you like to take it back?
Or give them.
Good day.
What was the little card I wanted everybody to hand it out? It
not says, this bitch.
I'm not that bitch. Yeah.
And anyway. It's not that you're not this bitch who does alterations. You're not this bitch who undercharges for their time.
Right.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Explicit episode. Okay. So let's take a break real quick and come back and talk about the procedure for fixing this rather finicky weirdo jersey and how ZD adjusted her process.
Right.
A couple of times. Yeah,
it's
great. So even though we're talking about how,
how smart we are.
How omniscient ZD is.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Even ZD.
Things change. Process. Things happen.
Okay, we'll be right back. ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. ZD has switched out the Cokes. She's reloaded.
We were just discussing Mallory hasn't had caffeine for a couple of weeks. She got sick and just happened to like stop it.
I stopped. I didn't drink coffee for a couple days because I wasn't feeling good. And then I felt really bad because I think I hadn't drank any coffee. But now I'm like afraid to drink it again. Anyway.
But we were talking about not putting.
Not putting what?
A value.
Yes.
Opinion on do caffeine. Do you drink caffeine? Do you eat coffee? Do you drink a soda?
Okay, but I do have to plug this thing because I got this stuff because I can't drink too much coffee, right? We all have our limit, whatever that is. It depends on the strength of your coffee.
Well, some people want to sleep.
Depends on your age.
And not jitters.
So I bought this Creo Brew stuff, and it is just roasted cacao beans.
So it's cocoa.
It's like cocoa tea, right? Because it's not as strong. It's like chocolate tea. And I was like, I want something warm to drink.
Yes.
That is a little more robust than tea.
Than tea.
No caffeine. And I was like, oh, I like chocolate and I don't like super sweet things. So I do. I like it a lot. If you're looking for something like that, whether, you know, whatever. And I'm sure they're making some kind of like health claims about whatever. But it's just enjoyable to drink.
And if you drink it, we will not
and it
judge you.
Your kids.
If you like it or if you don't like it.
Your kids are going to think it smells really good because it does smell like chocolate.
And then
it doesn't taste.
It tastes like dirt.
It tastes like very weak.
Tastes like the bark off the
very weak off the. Yes. But I like it.
Tastes like the shell of the cacao bean.
They sell it in flavors, though. And I don't really get. I don't get the flavors. But they sell like a hazelnut one. That's all the stuff. Anyway, I really like it. No.
Anyway, if you want to try and fix a shirt like this someday, or you come upon a similar issue. Well, the first thing I knew is I was going to have a backing. Like I was going to have something on the back of this cut or rip or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And to hold it together was one reason. I wanted it held together while I sewed. I did not want to use pins or anything or tape or anything like that. And I also knew I needed a backing to reinforce, like something, as you said, to sort of darn the fabric together right? So I pulled out a spray can of like glue and Mallory goes, don't use that. Use this other stuff. Don't we have this other stuff? And
so
I'm like,
I
guess we do.
She pulled out the glue that she used like on her aerial costumes.
Right.
Zigzaggers know about this live broadcast where she did these appliques. Right. I'm looking up at them right now.
The samples, yes.
And it's permanent. I thought she could use a temporary spray adhesive. And I just thought
that you use for fabric, for applique, that's what it's made for.
So it's not a quilt basting spray because those are also more permanent.
Right.
This is much more temporary.
Well, actually, quilt basting sprays come in different adhesiveness.
Okay, good call.
Yes.
Adhesivenesses.
Yes.
So anyway, I thought you should use something less permanent, but didn't it not work? Wasn't it not sticking?
Right, and this is exactly the same prop. Yeah. Here's what I say when you know, you're worth whatever you're worth because you've had the experience. So I went back to my glue spray. Now, it is repositionable for a matter of seconds.
It's not like concrete.
It's not like you put it on and you're stuck. And it even says that on the jar or the spray can. But that was the trouble I was having with some of the aerial fabrics because I was putting, like, you know, slick What do I want to say? Spandex type shiny fabrics, and maybe putting them on velvet, or putting them on the power mesh, and the other stuff just wouldn't hold long enough.
Yeah.
As soon as I started working on it, like in scrunching the fabric or something, or moving the fabric, you know, any movement would make it move out of position. So that's how I wound up using the spray glue. Now, it says it's craft glue. It says it's repositionable. It does say that it's permanent. It does say that it's washable.
Uh-huh.
So that means hopefully it's not going to get stiff and awful on you.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Right.
Even though it's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, now, we didn't say what I was spraying it on to glue it on the back of the
great.
Thing.
Yeah,
great.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I was using a thing called Easy Knit, and that is a not a generic name. It's a product name.
It's like a mesh.
It also has holes in it.
Yeah.
It kind of almost mimics that
Wait,
fabric.
Were you doing no-show mesh, or were you doing...
Oh, I used no-show mesh.
Yeah,
you're
okay,
right.
So that's
you're
not...
Right.
That's
right. It's
easy
not
Easy
Knit.
It's not Easy Knit.
Take that away.
Just kidding.
It is no-show mesh. So no-show mesh is mesh like a mesh. So it has little holes in it, little slits
it's
in it.
It's got little like, divots in it.
Yeah,
kinda,
little,
yeah,
little, you know, which kind of mimics that fabric in a way, okay?
Yeah.
So what I did is I cut strips. And so, you know, obviously the slice, I can't measure the width of it really.
You, just
you know,
cut some strips, yeah.
But I thought, if I give it an inch, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I can cut it away if I want.
Yeah.
So I made these strips, like, I actually think I made them about 3/4 inch, okay? Because I also didn't want a bunch, if it turned out to be kind of stiff, I didn't want a bunch of stuff there that I couldn't remove, maybe.
Did you spray the stabilizer or did you spray the project?
I sprayed the stabilizer.
Yeah.
And the reason you spray the stable. Now, this was actually a press-on iron-on mesh.
That's right.
But
Just chose not
no
to
heat,
use that
can't
feature.
Use the heat, can't use the heat.
This is why we'd always tell, just sidebar. So we'd always tell people, like, should I buy the fusible or non-fusible? And I'm like, I'd just buy the fusible because
right.
you can always just. Not
right,
use
not
the fusible.
Fuse right.
And
right.
it's not that much more expensive. And then you have that flexibility. We actually like wouldn't care. We had to order the stabilizers in
right.
3 packs. And I would just order
fusible.
The fusible. And every once in a while maybe order a non-fusible. I don't know, just in case someone was super passionate about that.
Well,
but,
and the other thing,
yeah.
and I did spray the glue on the fusible side. So you can feel it because it feels kind of bumpy.
Or it can
and
be shiny.
It can
yeah.
be maybe shiny. You can feel that there's all it is glue, okay? And I sprayed it on there also thinking if I sprayed it on that side and any of the solvents in the spray glue, you know, dissolved that glue or made it gummy, it would be up next to the fabric and not wind up next to the person,
yeah.
right? So, you know, I kept the fusible part of that stabilizer against my fabric and not my person side, right?
Yeah.
Because, and you know what? I don't know if it did that or not. Because I didn't, how would I know? When I sprayed it, it got gunky. So, you know, I laid out a piece of cardboard on the floor and I sprayed the wrong side of the fabric. Now, I had the shirt together,
uh-huh.
you know, as best I could, you know.
You had it inside
what
out.
What I call
right?
approximated.
Yeah.
Okay. Approximate the edges, you know, as best I could. Hopefully this would be great.
Uh-huh.
And I basically put it on like I was laying on a piece of tape.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And my idea was it will stay there. So I had to do this, you know, on 3 sides.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 long sides and a short side. I did that, let it dry. Okay. Now, the first piece I put on, you know, I did look underneath.
Yeah.
On the right side of my fabric to go, is this good enough? Right?
Uh-huh.
Or not only good enough, but is this as good as it gets? Right? So you have to, you're aiming for both of those or
uh-huh.
either one of those. You know, it might not get any better than this, even if I try something else, but it looked pretty good, okay? And I thought, I can deal with this.
Yeah.
So let it dry. And then Mallory had matched the thread.
You know, it was just so funny because I feel like I used to know the number of this thread. Oh, do you have it out? Okay. Go find it. Go. This is very important.
I guess I put it on.
I think it's PF 341. This will be so, oh man. Okay. ZD's getting it. This is real time. This was one of the most popular colors of Floriani that we sold. I don't know why. I don't know what it was.
This one?
Ish. What is it?
This is 362.
Oh, 362. Okay. Is there a 341 in there anywhere? I mean, that's pretty good, you know, for,
yeah.
You know, well, they are kind of close together. But yeah, okay, 362. No.
I think it was that one.
No, yeah, okay. Well, I wonder what 341 is.
I don't know. We could look it
it's
up.
Probably
changed by
it's probably
now.
Some kind of, yeah, who knows?
They probably don't make it anymore.
Right, right. So anyway, I just thought, oh, I know we have this color. It's this like icy blue. So I picked out the Floriani. Now, why did we use the Floriani? What are the reasons? There's a few.
Well, because that's what most of our embroidery thread is, but...
Well, but why didn't we use construction thread?
Or why didn't we use construction thread? Or why didn't we use a cotton thread?
I don't know. Yeah.
So, polyester, strongest, uh-huh. Right? Also, it had a sheen to it, and so did this jersey.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Shiny, shiny.
I mean, when you laid it on there, like, you couldn't see it.
Yeah, it, like, disappeared.
Right. So...
It's strong, shiny.
The one thing I think I did not do is I should have put embroidery thread in the bobbin.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't even think about it. And I probably should have done embroidery thread, but bobbin thread. I think I actually wound up using,
you were on the other machine.
Oh. You're
on the other machine.
Okay, no. So I think I used construction thread in the bottom, which I kind of, I wouldn't have done that any other time. I don't know why I did that. But anyway, I did it. So, it actually just was perfect.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I had to pick out a golden yellow color to go across the number
mm-hmm.
and a white to go across the number because the golden number was outlined in white.
You are so good to change those colors.
Just so nice.
It's a good thing Zeedee was doing that because
it's a good thing I don't mind changing thread. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I did, okay, so I zigzagged this, right?
Yeah.
Or satin stitched it.
You sat, okay, I was envisioning not a satin stitch for this at first.
I tried that. Here's the problem, too. I didn't have any fabric to try this out on.
Uh-huh.
So all of my trying out was actually on the jersey. So, I will tell you, I did remove some threads.
Yeah.
I did some stitching.
You went back over.
Yeah. So at first I did do that. What I did is I used a close zigzag. I did like, I don't know, like a 1.5, mm-hmm. Length. It wasn't far apart.
Yeah.
Right. But I got all of these like little white pokies coming up. Okay,
yeah.
From the other fabric, I didn't think it looked as nice. So then I tried the satin stitch, and it looked better. Okay,
yeah.
But I didn't take out those other little stitches when I did that.
Yeah, you just went right over them. Yeah, yeah.
So I sewed for, I would say, 6 or 7 inches, and I'm like, I'm still getting white pokies, even though I got the stitches butted up against each other, you know. It's kind of irritating because I'm sewing really well.
Well, and the white pokies, we've talked about the fabric a little
right,
bit of this
right.
jersey. It's like this stuff's like a double knit.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like two layers of knit.
It's two layers of knit.
Yes.
The top has been dyed, you know, this other color, or perhaps even been printed, right? And so you get this underneath layer
right.
poking up at you
right.
when someone's just ripped it open, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, that... All of that was essentially glued down,
uh-huh.
so to speak.
But it was still poking.
And then I thought, do I need to use a top, stabilizer?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Like a topping, yeah.
And I thought, I don't know, you know, I guess I could do that, but I don't really need it, like, all over this. It's not like it's really popping up a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I noticed is where I had approximated these edges, there was some kind of like a white fuzziness, okay? Like if I really looked at it close, really close,
uh-huh.
I could see a little bit of this white where, so I do believe it was torn now that I look at it because those threads were twisted to the top,
uh-huh.
like those white threads. So what I did is I took my applique scissors, right? My tiny ones. And I cut that down so it felt smooth. I just went across the top and cut those little fuzzies away.
That's really cool, I think. Like, it's just, that was part of the process. That, I
that
think
was
we,
a surprise to both
not
of us.
Anticipated.
I said, hey,
yeah.
come here, Mel, look at this. And yeah. she took movies.
I think I took a video, yeah.
So I finished the rest of it doing it, you know, that way, clipping. Honestly, that made me feel so good. Because even if those white pokies would have been out and that would have been as good as it was going to get, that was still kind of okay.
Yeah, it
all
didn't
right?
look terrible.
No,
yeah.
I mean, the repair would have been a little bit more obvious, of course, you know, depending on where you were standing. But like I said, this guy's out in the middle of the field. The person that's closest to him is, what, you know, 25 feet away or whatever. But anyway, well, the players. Like, I don't think a bunch of, you know... preteen boys are going to,
like, look
yeah.
at the stitching.
What
I don't know. They had Hillary as a teacher. Maybe they're
well,
looking at
they
it.
They might
you
be
know?
Looking at
it.
That's
yeah.
right. So
yeah.
anyway, I clipped down to make sure these little twisted fibers, right? Mm-hmm. And I really do believe it was because it was torn.
Yes.
You know, curled.
Yes.
Those little fibers curled. So had it been a clean cut, I don't think I would have had that. You know, they took a little life of their own once they were, you know, yeah. Ripped like that. So I'm like, look at this, Melanie. And she's like, oh, wow, what a difference. And I'm like, yeah. So I finished it. And then I went back and I did rip out the 6 or 7 inches I did that mm-hmm. had some pokies and trimmed it off and did it. And it started looking really good. And then I did. So got finished, right?
Yeah.
Looked at the back, decided not to take or try and take or worry about the stabilizer at all. It was still very soft on there.
Right.
I liked the fact that it was there. Oh, actually, also, I used paper, okay? I don't know if anybody knows what adding machine paper is, but it used to come in a roll.
Yeah.
Where we use I actually use that underneath as a stabilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say underneath as a stabilizer, I just wanted to make sure that my bobbin thread stayed on the bottom. And that was
right.
what I was more. And that just popped right off, you know, because of course I was, you know, punching it with the needle right next to itself. I was, you know, making a
right.
place, you know, a perforated line to rip it off.
Right.
So sorry I forgot about that, but. That's not something I tend to do often because usually I'm stabilized very well.
Yeah. Well, I think it's okay, but you.
But I tried it with and without, and I liked it better with.
So you're using a no-show mesh, which is it's something that stays there
right.
forever. Okay, you can trim it close to the stitches, but it
right.
stays within the stitches. And then basically you put a tear-away on the back.
Yes.
And that's how we recommend a
right.
lot of times you embroider, machine embroider,
right.
like a t-shirt or a
right.
knit, right? In our how to embroider a onesie video. That's what we do. So I just, sometimes there's support that needs to be present during the sewing.
Well,
and then there's
yes.
support that needs to be present afterwards. And that's okay.
Right. And,
you
this,
know?
And this fabric truly is just kind of slinky, weird fabric.
It is.
You
it
know,
is
you
little...
need a lot. I think you need, you know, the support. It did make a difference. My stitches did lay a little bit flatter.
Yes.
The needle I used, not an embroidery needle. I used a Microtex 80.
Microtex.
Okay. Because really sharp.
Yeah.
And 80, the 80i, of course, was absolutely going to accommodate my embroidery thread. I had no problem at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have gotten rave reviews. Everyone at the West Middle School thinks Mallory and I are like miracle workers. Not only that.
Not only that.
But after we got it done and I put this on my body and abused my breast, okay? They were like under my arms by the time I
yeah.
got this thing on, which there was some room there because I guess they have room, you know,
you
for the
pads. You put your breasts up in the shoulder
yeah,
pad
yeah,
area.
Yeah. And they reach. They do that now. I can wear them to the side or to the top or to
yep.
the bottom or whatever.
Right.
It is one thing about breasts at this age. You can put them where you like. Anyway, then, you know, we send the pictures to Hillary, and she's like, oh my gosh, my gosh, my gosh, my gosh, oh my gosh, you know, wait till I show this to coach, blah, 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 you know. Of course, then they wanted to know, you know, what could they do for us and all this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I felt like saying, don't send me anything else. So that's what you could do for me. But anyway, it was a fun project. I knew that we could probably do this better than anyone, okay, or as well as it. I don't think there is anyone anywhere that probably between Mallory and I probably has more experience in doing weird stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because we've taken on weird projects, you know, well, maybe Fred. Anyway.
Well, and you're, you know, you're different types. Well, I just want to say here, I'll bring some like humility to the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So
uh-huh.
I feel like.
Log this. Mallory says she's showing humility.
I know, right.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like when somebody says, oh, it's a stretchy, weird fabric and, you know, it's new. We've got this like level of confidence, right? I mean, if somebody brought me like a leather saddle, I'd be like, well, I haven't quite done as many of those things.
Well, and the other thing is you don't have the equipment.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, you know, if you're someone who's taken on like a lot of home deck or a lot of leather projects or a lot of knit, like we have, yes, like a lot of knits and we have taken on a lot of home deck projects. But like, yeah, we felt like this was in our wheelhouse for sure, you know, because.
Except when someone, you know, you have to, I've got some home deck that you don't have.
Yeah.
Sewing boat covers.
A ton.
Crap,
yeah. No, a ton. Well, what if, yeah.
Yeah.
So what if
sewing
a
backpack for a Geiger counter for the university to take to Colorado?
Well,
I did
and
weird
you,
stuff like that.
Remember, like that whole journey of Linda Turner's like velvet nursery stuff. Like that was, you know, you gave her a lot of advice around that, I think, and that was crazy.
I told her first, it's crazy, but anyway, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like
puke velvet
and poop on the velvet.
It doesn't go together. But anyway.
We made it work. But yeah, so this was very much
I think the knowledge that we also have, though, I'm ruining the humility.
Okay. Get rid of it.
Here comes the arrogance.
Get it out of here.
We know to say the saddle needs to go to someone.
There you go.
Right? I would send it to Russell Conti. Right?
Uh-huh.
He has all that leather stuff for shoes and stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, if it was someone I had to know, because I don't know a saddle maker.
Right.
Okay? And I don't know where to find one. So if, you know, Russell, I know where he is. He's in California, right? And I would say, he's got this leather stuff to do this with. You know, maybe he can do this for you. Whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, the next thing that happened was Hillary's like, okay, it's perfect. We love it and everything. Now I got to figure out how to get it from you, right? Well, I'm like.
ZD's courier service.
I'm like, you know, I have to pick up Jum today. And Hillary's house is close to Jum's school. So I'm like, can't I just like, you know. Throw it in your house on my. She's like, yes, yes. So not only did they get this excellent, excellent repair job.
Same day service,
pickup and delivery. You tell me what you think that's worth. I think I could buy a new boat if they gave me some
come
money.
Come on.
If they paid for that repair, you know? But anyway. So anyway, that was the story of the ripped jersey. And it did turn out great. And I guess apparently the kid was pretty thrilled too, because he didn't think it could like, I think he thought it was going to come back with duct tape on it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
No, yeah, the coach was pleased. It was very, it was awesome.
And apparently the coach like told other people what we did, which is scary.
And like, I can only imagine if I was like a middle school boy.
And this is my football premiere.
And this
or
is
something.
Like my jersey. Yeah. You know, but first, so many emotions would have been going through my mind. Like, first of all, someone's going to kill me because
the coach is not going to let me play.
My mom or my dad.
They're not going to let me play because I don't have a costume. Right.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, you know, anyway, and I guess apparently somebody grabbed it though. It wasn't like he cut it. But okay. So he's all worried. So he's worried about that. But then he's worried about like playing football in the first place because, you know, that's a big thing and everybody's watching and stuff, you know. So anyway, I hope we were able to give this kid, just like not have to worry about that, you know, with all the other stuff he was worrying about.
Well, I felt really sorry for the coach too.
Yeah.
Because this kid hands him this, you know, and the coach realizes everything that you've just said. Right? And he doesn't want to disappoint this kid.
Right?
I mean, he's trying to be this kid's hero, and he's not too sure he can do it this time, you know. But it was nice. So I have kind of a funny joke story that I think we would like some feedback on, right? I just think it's really funny. And maybe we should save it for the next episode.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Oh, I just want to bring up, you were talking about, like, I don't know, a saddle maker. I discovered this corner of the internet. It's the farrier. You know what farrier is? No, a farrier. A farrier is someone who does horseshoes.
Horse hooves, horse pedicures.
Well,
yes.
And I guess not only horses, but like cows and
donkeys. All kind of hoofery.
Hoof people. Hoofery. Okay, so at first I was watching them, and they kind of are in that category of like ASMR videos where people like seeing things like cleaned or cut or
a
whatever.
A pimple popper.
Right. Yeah. It's like the pimple popping of the horse. Okay.
Because they show up with these horses that have curled
overgrown
hooves.
Yeah. You know? So I was like watching these. I'm like, oh my God. And then I start reading the comments. And of course, somebody's like, you shouldn't be doing it like this. And you're a disgrace to our profession. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even have an opinion on this because I don't know what is going on here. Like I was like, it's nice to watch something I'm not an expert in. I like this. And then I was like, oh no, they shouldn't do it that way. The frog naturally sheds twice a year, and here I am. I'm like, I've touched a horse like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times in my life. But I thought it was funny because I feel like it's probably very similar to the sewing internet in a lot of ways. But for a minute, that was all that like the reels were showing me. Right. It was horse hoof.
Because you watched it once.
I guess I watched it once.
Yeah.
I've never had it happen so much like that. Okay.
Well, I keep getting how to nurse your baby videos.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess I watched one once. Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm 40 years past
that. Did they tell
you
about tucking it into the padding of a football jersey, the cavity for the padding, and then you can put your boob
up
there?
They said, if you nurse enough babies, you'll be able to move your boobs anywhere. But anyway.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take it away, Mom.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.